I'm going to be reading now from Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. For I want you to know how much I am struggling for you and for those in Laodicea and for all who have not seen me face to face. I want their hearts to be encouraged and united in love so that they may have all the riches of assured understanding and have the knowledge of God's mystery, that is, Christ himself, in whom are hidden all treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I am saying this so that no one may deceive you with plausible arguments, for though I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, and I rejoice to see your morale and the firmness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding with thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the universe, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have come to fullness in him, who is the head of every ruler and authority.
On Friday, July 1st, the official first day of my appointment, as I was driving east on I-80, something different because I had been driving north on I-380 to go to Cedar Rapids, I found that I was kind of had a strange feeling about it all. Sure, I'd been to Tipton about three or four times to visit with Pastor Paul, to meet with SPRC, and covertly to check out your town, right? For those that are checking me out on the internet, we're kind of doing the same thing, right? But I was making the drive that day as your pastor officially. I walked into my office, Paul's old office, and it was nice and clean. Melinda and her gig had taken the time to, hang on a second. What happened? Thank you. I decided I would save paper and preach off of my tablet instead, but apparently I bumped something and something came on. So anyway, we're back on track. But I was making so as I came into the office, I had discovered that Melinda and her gig had cleaned the office and left me a nice note and some fresh cut flowers, and it was wonderful. And I had seen the office before, right? You know what I'm talking about, right? Pastor Paul had a lot of stuff in there, and it was no longer there. All of his books and his piles of stuff and his pictures on the wall, his notes to himself, you know, there were lots of sticky notes around his office on little gum things. And it was a clean slate, the opportunity for me to make it my own. And I'm excited to make it my own. Yet I couldn't help feeling just a little bit overwhelmed by it all. For a few moments, I found myself sitting there asking myself, can I really do this? Will this congregation accept me as their pastor? And will I be able to fill the gigantic shoes that Pastor Paul wore? Now, actually, his feet weren't that big, were they? Because he was kind of a small man. But he left behind some pretty gigantic shoes to fill. I know that his shoes went all over town and was a part of the activities of the community, part of activities in the schools. And I know how important Pastor Paul is in your lives. I know that he served as your pastoral leader, your spiritual leader, and probably was your friend too. And I know that you loved Pastor Paul. Those are some big shoes to fill. And my apprehension is wondering if you will come to love me as you loved Pastor Paul. I can promise you that I will do my best to honor the ministry that you had with Pastor Paul, knowing full well that there's no way I can fill the shoes that he wore all over this community. But knowing that the new shoes I wear are going to need some breaking in, knowing that the shoes that I wear may rub a little and cause blisters and may make you a little uncomfortable, but know that as I wear the shoes that I wear them in faithfulness as your pastor. That's the context for Paul's letter to the Colossians that Melinda read today. The church in Colossae is one of the churches that the Apostle Paul did not start. You know, he started a lot of churches. We read about that in the book of Acts. But this was one of the churches that was started by followers of Paul from another church that then started the church in the Colossians. And as they're doing that, they're trying to figure out what it means to be followers of Jesus Christ. This whole Christian thing, this whole Church of Jesus Christ is very new to them, and they're not sure what it means to do everything that they're supposed to do. In our reading today, in verses 6 and 7, if you'd like to follow along in your Bible, I invite you to do so. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, the abounding in thanksgiving. Paul's message to that early church was one about receiving Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And for these first early followers of Jesus Christ, it required the people to let Christ into their lives and into their hearts, and then to let Christ guide their actions. This message for the church in Colossae is not just for them. This is a message for us today. It's been a message for all churches through the ages. To be rooted in Christ is to put on Christ's shoes. And I like the visual that Melinda chose, sort of the Jesus shoes walking in the dry land. But putting on Christ's shoes, whether they fit or not. You know, if you've had somebody else's shoes on, they feel a little odd. And to step where Jesus stepped, and to step how Jesus stepped. It can be uncomfortable to step into someone else's shoes and to do what they did. As we read the scripture, we find that it's this early church of Christ that is learning this whole new way of stepping into Christ's church. Some of these folks were believed in other pagan gods. Some of these were Jewish believers. And so this whole new way of doing their faith and in Jesus Christ was stepping into these shoes that were a little bit uncomfortable. These new shoes were not at all easy to step into. These folks had trouble letting go of their old way of doing things. If they were worshiping pagan gods, if they were Jewish believers, they had to let go of some of that other ways of worshiping, and they didn't always do it so gracefully and easily. They had trouble letting go of their own preferences in order to let the preferences of Jesus Christ guide them. When the nudges of the Holy Spirit tried to move them in a certain direction, move them into action, they had difficulty following this new Holy Spirit that was kind of working in that early church. We are not so different than that early church. You are probably filled with anticipation, and you are probably filled with reservations at your new pastor standing before you. The Apostle Paul cautions us that the human way of dealing with these kinds of things can lead us astray from the real purpose of what the church is about. And to be led astray means that we're not doing the ministry God calls us to here in this church. I don't know if you realize it or not, but you're not the only ones doing what we're doing. We're not the only ones doing it. There are churches across the state of Iowa, churches across the country, churches across the United Methodist Connection that are doing the very same thing we are, welcoming a new pastor. It's happening in Bertram, where I left. They're welcoming a new pastor. Unfortunately, at the Buffalo Church, they're not yet doing that. Still waiting on an appointment there. And Pastor Paul is in Spencer experiencing the same things we are, experiencing this new congregation and this new relationship that is coming together as people do. We are not alone in our trepidation and our apprehension. Yet in our midst, in our hearts, is the one who brings peace, the one who can forge this path for us together, and that is Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the one who has been there for all ages, in the one that is God and in the one that is Jesus. In the Bible, there are many who have experienced God's call to step into another pair of shoes. Imagine stepping into the shoes of some of those biblical folks who we read about in our passages. In the Old Testament, the people of Israel learned from their previous leaders, people like Abraham and Ruth and Esther, Jacob and David, and the list goes on and on. And then there are the prophets, and by the way, probably people didn't want to step into those prophets' shoes because nobody really liked the prophets, Amos and Micah and Jeremiah, Isaiah. But they were faithful, and their shoes needed to be stepped into. In the New Testament, we read stories of the tentative disciples, those first ones that were called by Jesus, who said they'd go, but then weren't quite sure how they were going to go, and the shoes didn't fit quite right. And then once their ministry really took off, those were some big shoes to fill. Peter and James and Andrew, Mary and many others. And then there were the apostles whose faithfulness grew the church of Jesus Christ to what it is today. Paul and Peter and Priscilla and Barnabas and the list goes on there too. And of course, Jesus' shoes are the toughest to step into. In the more than 100 years as a church here in Tipton, I am sure that there are people whose shoes have been difficult to fill through the ages. Decades of ministry left behind as people move on. Sunday school teachers and lay leaders, musicians, mission workers, preachers, just to name a few. Their faithfulness and their love of the Lord taught and inspired and guided this church, the people of this church and in this community. And so today we gather in this place, remembering the past and possibly grieving what is gone. I know that you are. Know too that I grieve. I grieve the churches that I left behind and the ministry that was yet undone there. And it's okay for us to feel this way as long as we don't get stuck in our grief. Today, we begin our ministry together, our future life with one another as a church of Jesus Christ here in Tipton. How we go forward today will determine who we are as Christ Church. If we get stuck in the past, we can get stuck in the past, or we can look hopefully to our future together. In verses 9 and 10 in our passage in the Colossians, to the Colossians, is, "For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have come to fullness in him, who is the head of every ruler and authority." Of course, we're talking about Jesus Christ. Christ, not us, holds the future, holds the plan to our future together as pastor and congregation. In the same way, Christ holds the future of our eternal life. Our lives, our ministry, are in Christ's hands. God placed them there. Christ invites us to step into his shoes in order to share Christ with those in our midst who don't know the love that Jesus Christ has to offer. And so, my new friends in Jesus Christ, as we step into our present, are right now, and as we look to our future together, I ask you, who's going to fill these shoes? Who's going to fill the shoes of caring for the elderly and the ill people in our midst? Who's going to fill the shoes of worshiping with open hearts and open minds and open doors? Who's going to fill the shoes of welcoming those who don't look like us, who don't act like us. And they want to come into our midst and find a place in Jesus Christ. Who's going to fill the shoes of generous giving of time and talents and of money in this place? Who's going to fill the shoes of caring for this beautiful building as a place of welcome and of ministry and of worship? Who's going to fill the shoes of feeding the hungry that live in our midst and live across the globe? Who's going to fill the shoes of doing mercy and justice? Who's going to fill the shoes of loving the Lord and walking with the Lord daily? Most of all, who's going to fill the shoes of bringing Christ to the people that are living in darkness and living without hope? It's a lot of shoes to fill, right? It's a lot of ministry that needs to be done. There's a lot of work to be done. Do we have enough feet to fill them? Are there enough? Christ calls us to fill these shoes. Following Jesus means being willing to put on Christ's shoes, even if they're new to us, and even if they're not yet broken in. Even if putting them on makes us uncomfortable, we're called to go somewhere where we're not sure we really want to go. Christ's shoes are not easy to fill. And yet God promises to walk with us in another pair of shoes and guide us in our ministry together. God has promised to be faithful to me as I answer the call to be in ministry here with you. And in answering the call, we have the chance to rise up and be in ministry for Jesus Christ. Please know this. I won't try to fill Pastor Paul's shoes. I couldn't possibly fill all the ways he was in ministry over the 11 years. But know that I bring a new pair of shoes into your midst. These shoes are filled with love for the Lord. These shoes are willing to work and roll up my sleeve. These shoes are willing to be constant and true. And these shoes are willing to love you as I know Paul loved you. As you remember the great leaders in the Bible, as you remember the great leaders of this church, it is Christ who has shaped this community in which we do ministry. We have the opportunity to together put on some new shoes and do some great things for Jesus Christ. Of course, you know that it's impossible to put on another, really fill another person's shoes, right? You know that, right? If you've ever put on somebody else's shoes, they feel awkward. You know, you're desperate for a pair of shoes. They don't feel right. Just ask Cinderella in that glass slipper, right? Right? Only one person fit those shoes. But we can put our own shoes on, and we can go where Christ calls us to go in those shoes. We're called to make ourselves available. And as your new pastor, I am making myself available to you and available to the ministry that is here at the Tipton Church. Yes, we grieve. Yes, we are apprehensive, but Christ is here in our midst, and Christ wants us to put on our shoes and do the ministry that God calls us to. Let us pray. Almighty and loving Lord, we praise you for this opportunity to move forward into the future. Show us the ministry, show us the people. Show us where you would have us go, in our shoes or in a borrowed pair, but help us to go. In your holy name we pray. Amen.